The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And it's a good day to be a Yankee fan. We're back. We've taken a break. We've separated from the one that hurt us. We're ready to do a weekend getaway. We're not ready to tell our parents we're talking again. But, you know, we're sneaking around making little reservations and whatnot. If we're being totally honest with everyone, we just recorded 4 minutes where my microphone wasn't plugged in, so it was bad audio, and now we're doing it again. That was a joke that was funnier the first time. To you, Nick.
It was. Look, and I was just debating for the last 30 seconds, like, are we going to have the same conversation that we just had? But why not? Like I said, the snow's melting. Winter is ending. Happy New Year. We're coming back into it. I am so fired up. And again, like I said 4 minutes ago, the most anticipated Yankee season since 2018.
Since last year.
All right. We got that out of the way. Today we are going to be, look, there's a lot to get to all year. We are going to talk about different lineup configurations, predictions, the rest of the AL East. There's the schedule. There's a lot to get into over these next 6 weeks before actual baseball. But today is going to be dedicated to recapping the offseason moves. Like I was saying, we don't get together every week during the offseason. I can't come on here and late January and talk about somebody said this, somebody had a workout here, somebody took a shit here. It's just not how we roll. We come back, we do it all today. We are going to recap the entire offseason. We're going to start with the move that we've already talked about. We had a podcast about, but it's fun as fuck, so let's talk about it again. The Yankees acquired Juan Soto, outfielder from the San Diego Padres, in exchange for King, Thorpe, Brito, Vasquez, Higashioka. I give it an A+. Jack, your thoughts?
I love it. We were done with Higgy. You know, obviously, we're moving on in the backup position. King was never going to be what we wanted him to be. He had spurts that got him some value for us to get a one-year rental on Soto. I mean, Juan Soto is a generational talent. He's maybe the best player in baseball, most upside of any player in baseball. You know, and I know Otani's right there as well, but you don't know kind of what's going to happen with him injury wise. And I don't like him because I'm just learning more and more of what a weirdo he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do see a lot of people upset when Boone says, like, we've got him for a year. We're focused on the year. Or Cashman says that, you know, like, how could we be giving up? We're not giving up on him. There is just no situation where Juan Soto signs an extension during the season. It's just not going to happen. No matter what number you throw out there, if you go, we'll give him 10 years, $600 million, Scott Boras goes, great, that's the floor. That's with one team in a closed market. It would cost so much money to buy his freedom, to buy his ability to flirt, that we're going to have him for 1 year. Hopefully he continues to have great seasons like he always has. He's got the short portion right field. He can mash, and if he drives up his value and it's too much for us, but we win the World Series, who gives a shit?
Couldn't agree more. And they did give up. They did give up a decent haul of arms. I'm not going to pretend like King and Brito and Vasquez is nothing. But what was the other option? Cody Bellinger still out here. I don't know who the – and look, Otani was never coming here, so just forget him. There was no plan B, in my opinion. The drop-off from Juan Soto to Cody Bellinger is enormous. You had to go get him. Of course, they gave up a lot. You do that 100 times out of 100, especially considering, A, the dimensions of the stadium and the lack of balance in the lineup, but, B, just how awful the lineup was last year. They really had no choice.
Yeah, I mean, we talk all the time about left, right. We talk about athleticism, you know, all the things that kind of lack from these rosters that we've been putting out there. And here's, I'm a very binary person. You're in the playoffs, you're out of the playoffs. You can't be more out of the playoffs than out of the playoffs. And this is a move that I feel confident that we are back in the playoffs at a minimum. But if we didn't get Soto, there wasn't another move out there that was going to make sense, because if Soto ends up only being 1 year, yeah, that in theory sucks, but it's not a 8 years of Bellinger. Like, we're not on the hook for a bad contract yet, which gives us flexibility, which is like the number one thing I talk about.
100%. And it was just a weird offseason in terms of who was available. You had the two Japanese studs, right, as free agents, Yamamoto and Otani. You had Soto on the trade market. And then after that, it was like, it wasn't one of those Harper Machado off seasons, or when there was Turner and Bogarts and Correa, like that off season a couple of years ago. It was pretty slim pickings, and he was such an obvious fit. I mean, this guy is a modern day Ted Williams. He's going to be hitting in front of Aaron Judge. We'll talk about the lineup in a future episode. And getting him in a walk year with the short porch, I think the sky's the limit. He's got a career 420, 421 OBP. He's going to get on base a lot, and he's going to enhance the lineup. Next move, we acquired Alex Verdugo, a rare, rare trade with the Red Sox for Greg Wiesert, Richard Fitz, and Nick Justice. I give this an A just because of how shitty left field was last year. I mean, you think about, we had IKF out there, Oswaldo Cabrera.
Whoa. We're not trashing IKF.
Well, look up his numbers as a left fielder and then get back. The point is, left field was a disaster, man. Like, it's been awful for what, 3 years since we've had a save for Benintendi for 3 weeks. We haven't really even had a real body out there. I think if he can give you average production on a walk year, that's a huge win.
I don't know if I mentioned this on another podcast. I saw a tweet that a girl like took a screenshot of like a Tinder message someone got. She's a very pretty girl. And someone said, "Are you IKF? Because I want you in every position." It's like my favorite tweet I've ever seen. No, I like the Verdugo move. One, I like making a man shave. I like just, you know, I like establishing that dominance over someone. And yet he's better than what we've had. He's a career 280 hitter. He's in a walk year. I think, you know, some of the other, you know, I haven't looked it up, but I would imagine the past couple years in Boston, he's hitting pretty like high up in that lineup. There's a lot of pressure on him in that lineup. Far less pressure in this lineup for him. He's going to be a 7-8 hitter, you know, and that gives us, while getting better defense, a little pressure off the idea of like how much is Stanton going to get out there. And I know we're going to talk about Stanton in a little bit, but also another everyday lefty. So we've got Soto, we've got Rizzo, we've got Verdugo, pretty much everyday lefties in the lineup, which is a dramatic change from anything we've had in the past.
Oh, it's huge. And I love the idea of just having all these dudes on walk years. You know, talk about Soto, talk about Torres, talk about Verdugo. Clay Holmes is in a walk year. Look, you saw Judge in his walk year with the 62 home runs. We saw A-Rod going into an opt-out, hit 57 home runs or whatever that was. Like, clearly the walk year activates a different gear in most of these players. And to have a bunch of pissed off guys that are trying to get a contract, that can only help the team.
Pissed off left-handed guys. In
your stadium.
Yeah. Because then also, think of the days when Austin Wells was behind the plate. That's four lefties.
No, it's a great point. And I do like, it's just cool to steal guys from the Red Sox. Like we got them for nothing. We got them for free. I've heard of Weissert. I never heard of the other two guys that we gave up, candidly.
Yeah,
I never heard of
them. I think it was an easy deal. I think there was talk of them wanting Glaber at one point, where like, you don't want to send Glaber to the Red Sox because he'll hit 50 home runs, you know, against us alone. But yeah, no, I mean, Verdugo, he's got a you know, a pass of being a pain in the ass against us. It'd be nice to see that in pinstripes. He seems excited to be here. You know, we talked about, like, when we got Donaldson a couple of years ago, everyone knew he didn't want to be here. He hated the Yankees. He didn't want to be here. Verdugo's happy to be here. So, like, let's get him out there in left field. And now we have, like, we have a real out. We're going to have three major league outfielders in the outfield. And we have a Martian that's going to come back at some point.
That's going to be fun. And when you think about the guys they had in the outfield, I mean, we had Franchi, Cordero, and Bowers, and Calhoun, and these quad A guys, these quad A losers out there. Like you said, we have real guys. It's going to be so much more fun. And he knows the AL East, right? He knows the Fenway, the stupid monster wall. He knows how to play in the Toronto Dome. He's been at the Trop, Yankee Stadium. He doesn't need to learn his way around. He already knows the deal. So I think, you know, clutch player, and he'll fit in well.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great move.
So the next one was not a move, but it's a non-move. They missed on Yoshinobu Yamamoto. They did offer him $300 million over 10 years. It was the highest AAV that he was offered, $30 million a year. He did go to the Dodgers for $325 over 12. The consensus around the industry is that he just always wanted to be a Dodger and was using the Yankees and the Mets as leverage. I guess, what did you think of the offer? Do you think they, quote unquote, put their best foot forward in trying to get this guy?
You offer anyone $300 million for 10 years, you've put your best foot forward. For a guy who's never played in the major leagues, he has fantastic numbers in Japan. Japan is not the major leagues. Nobody is like, you know what? I'm not going to take a major league deal to go play in Japan. People go to Japan instead of maybe a minor league deal. But, you know, and again, I had said when we talked about the offseason that I always have concerns with Japanese pitchers adjusting from pitching once a week to having to pitch every 5 days. We saw it with Tanaka. You saw it, you know, with Hideo Nomo years ago. We saw it with the Toad. You've seen it with, you know, I forget who the guy, who the Red Sox got with the gyro ball.
Daisuke.
Yeah. Like, you see these issues come up. And, you know, look at Ohtani. He hasn't been able to consistently pitch every 5 days ever. And obviously, two sides to him, amazing player. I'm not trying to like discount him, but if you're looking at just that side, it really hasn't worked at the $30 million a year level in the major leagues.
No, it really hasn't. And I do think like they made a hell of an offer. Like I'm seeing a lot of, oh, they, you know, the Yankees cheaped out again, or they didn't go the extra mile. Like they offered the guy, like you said, $300 million. They offered him the highest rate per year, and they offered an earlier opt-out. I did think the offer was really competitive, and I do understand not wanting to go above Cole for a guy that, like you said, has never pitched here. Did I want him? Of course. I would have loved to have him be the number two behind Cole, but it's tough to blame them for not wanting to go to 325. And there's no guarantee that even if they went to 325 that he wouldn't have just went right back to the Dodgers. I don't think he wanted to be a Yankee deep down.
No, I think he you know, he wanted to be a Dodger because, you know, for some reason, Japanese players like to play on the West Coast as if they're just going to pop home for the weekend, as we've seen from Taylor Swift. It is a bit of a journey. And, you know, I think he wanted to play with Ohtani, and Ohtani never wanted to play in New York, would never even take a meeting with us. And, you know, and then he got his, you know, his fucked up deal.
Yeah, which is a whole nother issue. And you're right, Ohtani's a complete weirdo. Like there was one article where it's like he doesn't do wind, he doesn't do rain, he doesn't do humidity. It's like, what happens when you get to the playoffs and it's late October and you have to play in New York or you have to play in Boston or Chicago? It's not everywhere is SoCal, buddy.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting, but like apparently he doesn't care, you know? Once he got $700 million coming his way, guaranteed, who gives a fuck? I'd lay out some weirdo rules, too.
Yeah. So in missing on Yamamoto, they pivoted to a very polarizing figure, maybe the most polarizing figure in Yankees universe, Marcus Stroman, 2 years, $36 million. I'll let you go first with what you thought of this one.
I like it. I like the move. What's everyone's issue with Stroman? When he was on other teams, he said bad things about us. Good. Now he wears my laundry that I cheer for. So he's going to say bad things about the other laundry. If he wanted to criticize my laundry while he didn't wear it, good. show some competitive spirit. Here's the thing. He's 3.95 ERA for his career. He's been in the majors for 9 years. You know, early on in his career, he had the ACL thing where, like, he came back for the playoffs, showed, like, some guttiness in a time where, you know, he really didn't have to. And then even last year, when you look at his numbers, like, he went out and he had some injury problems, but he had a 3.95 ERA. He had a 3.5 ERA the year before, again, dealing with some injuries. But injuries aren't new to us. He's a local guy. He's close to home. I don't know if that keeps his head on straight or not. At the same time, you know, he is he's about to be like a 33-year-old man, so he's not a kid. He's not going to be dicking around with his friends on Long Island too much. And listen, I need a guy who's going to go out and give me 27 starts like he did last year. I'd love to get 30 out of it. Keep your ERA under 4. Don't hit your wife. That's it. Just don't hit any women. Sub-4 ERA.
He does add some juice, too.
Yeah. He's a fiery guy. Here's the thing. The bench is clear. He's going to be in there. You know, and I know this isn't the UFC, but, like, I feel like he gives a fuck. And, you know, in Toronto, they went for it at times and it didn't work out. He didn't really have much success, you know, with the Mets, like, as a team. In Chicago, you know, they weren't competitive. He's on the big stage. He's got 2 years to prove himself to get the rest of, like, these 2 years determine the rest of his career.
Oh, definitely. And he's been working really hard to endear himself to the fan base. And I'm not stupid. I know he's pandering a little bit. Like, he's showing up in, like, a 1996 World Series hoodie to spring training or whatever, talking about how this was always his destiny. Like, good, pander to me. I'm not above that.
He's gone through, like, he blocked a lot of Yankees fans over the years, and he's gone through, like, manually unblocking people. And, you know, he wanted to be a Yankee years ago. Like, he talked shit to the Yankees because the Yankees did not sign him and he wanted to. So, like, It's negging, you know, he's trying to stay on our radar. He did. It worked out. And the deal, $16 million a year for 2 years, is not a bad contract for a guy who's going to give you a sub-4 ERA and 30 starts.
Exactly. And I don't know the offers that he had, but you would think that he maybe might have taken less to come here. I would think he had more. He had an offer for more than $40 million on the table somewhere from somebody. The deal he signed with the Cubs, I think, was 75 over 3, and he had an opt out, and that's how he became a free agent. The other thing, though, ground ball pitcher at Yankee Stadium, right? We have short dimensions and right center. Getting a true ground ball guy in here. You know, Cole is a strikeout fly ball guy. Rodon is a strikeout fly ball guy. It's nice to have a pure kind of ground ball pitcher. And on the days that he pitches, you get Peraza in there. You get your fire infield defense and, you know, play a little run prevention.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, you know, especially with Rizzo back at first base. He's going to save you a lot of runs on ground balls. It gives the guys a little more flexibility with their throws. And again, Stroman's made over $100 million in his career, like $99 million on the field. He's had endorsements, so he's made over $100 million. This guy never has to worry about a penny again. Come to New York. You're from New York. If you win in these 2 years, even if you play well, you can get another contract with New York, and you've set up the rest of your life because, you know, you become more than just Homer Bush showing up at Old Timers Day. You know, he's probably going to live here as he grows older. Is a perfect setup for a local guy.
Definitely. I do think he needs to get off to a quick start. Like, if I had to pick one guy that needs to get off to a fast start, because you think about it, right? A couple bad starts. He starts posting on social media. I could see people turning on him quickly. But on the other side, if he comes out and look, it looks like he's lined up for the home opener. If he comes out 7 innings, a 2-run ball, and he's stomping his feet and clapping and running off the mound after a big start, everyone's going to love him. I think it could really go in either direction very quickly with him.
Yeah, I mean, last year he started his season with the Cubs by going 6 innings, no earned, 6 innings, no earned, 6 innings, 2 earned, 6 innings, none earned. And then 5 innings, 5 earned against the Dodgers. And then okay. 6 innings, 2 earned against Miami to wrap out his first month of the year. Nice. So, you know, he goes out there, he competes. If he gets 7, great. But, you know, if he just gives us 6 innings of solid baseball and you're not burning up our, like, who knows what the fuck we have out there bullpen, you know, that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for an ace. But he's he was signed to be a 3-4 starter.
And for me, like we've talked about this, like the team over the past few years has just had way too many boring white guys. I think we needed some more juice. I think he's going to add a lot of fire. Like I want him shouting at the other team, you know, causing a stir sometimes on the field. Like let's wake up a little bit. And I like that he said, you know, he's like, I'm lined up for the home opener and I'm excited. Like, I like that he's already thinking about that and looking at the schedule. Like, the guy clearly gives a shit.
I'm excited for when he does get shelled in a game, because he's going to, like, same way Cole's going to get shelled in a game. And I'm excited to see all the subtle racism of like, well, if he didn't have a do-rag on, he probably would have be a better ground ball pitcher.
The do-rag. Are they going to let him wear the do-rag, have they said?
I did. Why wouldn't they?
I don't know if that's like a Steinbrenner.
I mean, he's wearing something under his hat. Like you only see like the edges of it. Like maybe, you know, he's not going to have a flap hanging down from the back.
Yeah. And a bunch of them wore headbands. Like I remember Luke Voigt and Wade and Stanton were wearing headbands. Thing. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. So that clears.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The last little kind of move, non-move. So they let walk Wandy Peralta and Kenyon Middleton, two guys that I would have loved to re-sign. Wandy specifically because just seemed like he had balls of steel. He could handle New York. You throw him in any situation and he was comfortable. They did trade for Caleb Ferguson from the Dodgers, who's got pretty good numbers. I've never really watched him pitch, but the baseball reference page looks good. So I guess I'll ask you, how are you feeling about the bullpen overall?
I mean, I think it's a big question mark because some of these guys, like, you know, we watch almost every Yankee game. I don't watch almost every game. I never watch SportsCenter. I'm not seeing baseball. Is baseball tonight even on TV anymore?
I don't think that's a thing
anymore. So I'm not seeing as much of like around the league as I used to, especially West Coast National League. Obviously wanted to keep Wandy because he just looked like he didn't care what the situation was when he came out. I used to say like he always looked a little confused when he got onto the mound. I'm just like, he always like he'd get to the mound, he'd be handed the ball, and you could see it like I could see in his mind a phrase like, you're probably wondering how I got here. Like one of those things. So it's a question mark, you know, kind of like last year, you know, it's weird that we don't have like a premier closer. Like we've grown so accustomed to it over the years. We've been spoiled with it. That'll be interesting to see if that's an area where we have to beef up, you know, because this season, like I say every season, it's up to the guys that are on the team today to prove that they deserve help. And some people are going to have to go for that. And, you know, does a premier arm come available? You know, to a certain extent, I don't want him back, but like Aroldis Chapman has the fucking sweetest life right now. Goes to any city, gets like $10 million, hangs out for half the year, gets traded to a contender. Now he's gonna be in Pittsburgh. It's a nice city. You get to hang out small, gets to hang out, Permane brothers, and then go somewhere else. And you know, who else is out there that we could maybe, you know, pick up?
I'm in a weird spot with Clay Holmes. You kind of alerted to it. Like when you look at his numbers, I couldn't believe it. I almost fell out of my chair. He's like eighth in WAR of all relief pitchers the last 3 years or whatever. His numbers are great when you look at them in totality, but when he jogs onto the mound, I'm not like, oh, the game's over. Like I'm sweating every time. I think part of it is because he is a ground ball pitcher that isn't great at fielding his position, and he
so bad at fielding his position. So bad.
Yeah, he's like slow and awkward, and I don't know, like I don't know. He had a whatever 2.2 or 2.3 ERA last year, which is great, but for whatever reason, like I just don't get that, oh, this game's over feeling when he goes in. Like I got that with Andrew Miller. You know, I've gotten that with other guys since Mariano, Chapman for a point. Haven't felt that way with Clay Holmes. He is in a contract year. Wouldn't mind some reinforcements either, but I didn't want to give Josh Hader $100 million. I thought that would have been dumb.
Yeah, I didn't want to give Josh Hader $100 million. He had a 2.86 ERA last year for Holmes. You know, 23 walks in 63 innings isn't great. So you want to see him get that, you know, get that down a little bit. You know, he's got a whip over one. So, you know, if we can get that down closer to one or under one, you feel a lot better. And it is, we say, when you look at the stats, you're like, oh, this guy's not terrible, especially for, you know, where we don't pay him a ton of money. But there is that security. He comes jogging in from the mound. It was the same as watching Glaber throw a ball from shortstop to Luke Voit at first.
Oh, God. Just gave me PTSD. Yeah, no, I hear you. And the saves that he blow, like he doesn't just allow a solo home run to tie a game as his blown saves are five run debacles with guys going around the bases like it's a merry-go-round. Like that, I think that's why they're like gut-wrenching blown saves. But you know, the Yankees are good at finding random dudes and making them into good relievers. Like I'm sure they'll find another Johnny Brito or another Randy Vasquez this year that we don't even know who that is right now. And they'll come in. But I think they're always on the lookout for bullpen help. Wouldn't shock me if they added another reliever.
I want us to be like the early 2000s Tigers, where we'd like get to the playoffs and it'd be like, here's some fat shit who pitched 2/3 of an inning this year, throws 105 miles an hour.
Big dude with the rec specs.
Yeah. Like just give me some fucking weirdo. I don't know what our AAA situation looks like. If I'm being honest.
Yeah, who's the guy that they like? Is it Hampton? There's a guy that I hear about a lot. Hampton, Beater, all these names. We'll see them more as we get into the spring here. Other kind of notable topics. Giancarlo Stanton looks like he lost about, I don't know, 20 pounds. Did you see that picture of him?
Yeah, he's looking slim. I'm jealous. I'm trying to get there.
Do you think it'll do anything?
So I understand some people are like, wow, he's, you know, he's really thin. Like, does he have the power or whatever? Obviously, whatever he has been doing has not worked. His frame, as he's getting older too, carrying that much weight, that much muscle, you know, probably isn't helping. So if this helps him be more athletic, a little more agile, you know, I don't look for Stanton to hit 50 home runs anymore. I'm looking for him to be a threat that provides protection for Judge to hit 50 home runs, who's providing protection for Soto to hit 50 home runs. And, you know, that's really, and realistically, it could be, you know, that he's got Rizzo in front of him. Rizzo's protecting Judge. So now Rizzo is all of a sudden getting the chance to hit 35 home runs or something like that. If he can stay healthy, he's got the hand-eye coordination. When he makes contact, he's still going to drive the shit out of the ball. Like he's a monster of a man. It's not like this guy at whatever weight it is that he is now can't hit the ball 500 feet. It just maybe not 700 feet. But if it keeps him on the field, because he said, I want to go back to being a baseball player. If he can get 2 days a week in the field where it makes sense, like we know he plays better when he's being a baseball player, not just a DH. Statistically, it's proven itself out. So, you know, I'm excited he at least did something. You know, he made some kind of change that isn't just like, oh, I bench pressed the model. Didn't you see that on Instagram?
It does seem like he made an effort. And this is a weird spot for Stan because this is really the first year that he's been here that we're not asking him to be like the main 1-2 punch with Judge, right? Like Soto has replaced him as that Robin to Judge's Batman or the Batman or Robin, however you want to order it. To me, the expectations are so low. This is a guy that really over the last 200 games has hit 200 with a 300 OBP, still has a little bit of power. again, we don't need him to be a force. To me, it's almost like whatever we get as a bonus. If he does come back and shut people like me up and hit 260 with 38 homers and is a monster, I'll love it. But honestly, I would sign up for 225 batting average with like 28 bombs. I would sign for that right now, which would be 30 points higher than he hit last season. So sounds crazy when I say that, but
a good on base percentage, like get on base in the eighth inning, ninth inning of a close game, let someone else run for him. You know, just be a veteran presence at the plate. Have a good eye and don't go for that slider down and away. It's coming with two strikes. Just, we all know it's coming. I'm telling you right now that on March 15th, that's what they're going to throw you, Giancarlo. Like, it's coming. And if he can do that and show that discipline while, you know, staying available, I think it's going to be huge because, you know, we'll talk about all the like lineup options on another episode. But when you start thinking about it, like they've said they want DJ batting leadoff, right?
Yep.
I think Yankee fans want to see Volpe make the jump to be able to do it, which then probably just puts DJ down, like far down in the order, which is phenomenal if he's playing well. But so you've got DJ, Soto, Judge, maybe Rizzo. Then do you go Stanton? Do you go Glaber? Glaber's, you know, how far down the lineup are you going to put Glaber? I think it's going to be an interesting lineup that they have to construct. There's going to be personalities to manage. But at a certain point, I mean, Brian Cashman said it in the offseason. Can't really rely that he's going to be there all the time. And the team's clearly moved on from that. And it's up to him to prove himself to get the playing time.
No, you're right. And they're probably going to start him at five, right? They're probably going to go DJ, Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Stan. But let's say they start him in the five hole and he's hitting, you know, it's May 15th and he's hitting 195. I mean, do you think they, like, how long? Do you think they're just going to be blindly loyal because his last name is Stanton? No. And he has an MVP. So you think they would bump him down?
I think they would bump him down because, like, then after, if they go left, right, then you've got Verdugo and then you've got Glaber. So Glaber's batting seventh. And, you know, what did he hit last year? Last year, Glaber hit
like a 260 guy, right?
273. So he hit 273 with 25 home runs. And I don't think you keep that in the seven hole if your five hole has, you know, four home runs, can't run at all. And, you know, is batting, you know, 195, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, last year it felt like, I think they left him in the cleanup pretty much the whole year just because they didn't have many guys behind him. Again, it was Bowers, Calhoun, and guys like that. But if he's, again, if he's hitting 195 and this team is in contention, you can't just keep batting him there. The thing that worries me about Stan is it looks like he just can't catch up to 95 plus anymore. I don't think that's something that gets better or gets easier as you get older. Again, I'd love for him to prove me wrong, and I'll be the hater that he can call out. Like, I have no problem with that. I would love to be wrong. I don't see him getting better at hitting those 97, 98 mile an hour fastballs that it seems like everybody's throwing these days.
I mean, maybe being leaner, he can. Maybe okay. He's focused on it. I mean, we see him being leaner. We don't know what that means yet or how he got there. So it'll be interesting to see because he's a guy that, like, You get the clips of Judge in the batting cage in the offseason. You get the clips of, like, it's on Glaber's own Instagram of him in the cage. I have no idea what Stanton does all offseason.
I think he's a big international traveler. Like, you see him in Peru and Italy.
Yeah, not a batting cage.
Not a batting cage, the pyramids or whatever.
they have a batting cage in the pyramids?
You could, like, use that as a target, like the top of the... top of the pyramid.
King Tut was buried with a batting cage. Noted baseball guy.
Three guys that really need to bounce back are obviously DJ, Rizzo, and Giancarlo, who we just talked about. Of those three, who are you most confident in, like, having a big year?
Rizzo. I feel good about Rizzo just because I think with him playing first base, he adds so much. It was like we got spoiled with all the taxiers of defense, and then when you have that Luke Voit time, or, you know, Chris Carter, like all these guys who played first base for us, I feel confident in that because also, like, his slump was very much tied to a specific head injury. So as long as he's through that, which it sounds like he is, he should be good. You know, DJ at times has looked overmatched, and it's the toe, and it's like, how much is a toe impacting your whole body? So it'll be interesting to see how he gets started, because I think we're going to know early whether or not we have anything with DJ or not. And Stanton, you know, I've got no faith that anything's going to happen, but I'm going to be hopeful.
Exactly. No, I'm with you on Stanton. And DJ has that same issue with the fastballs over 95 miles an hour. Seemed like he really just couldn't catch up. And they were making a big deal about how he had a great August and September. But like, to me, that was garbage time at that point. You know, when they were fighting to stay in it in June and July, he was nowhere to be found. I would love to see him bounce back and have a big year, but I don't love the idea of Boone talking about him as the leadoff hitter. I don't want a slow-footed 35-year-old station-to-station guy that doesn't walk a ton as my leadoff hitter. I just don't.
I don't think that there's anyone else just yet who – I mean, like Verdugo, maybe. Right. And then you bat Judge second and flip him in Soto. I think that could be an option. I do like, you know – listen, it's February still. I like the idea of publicly letting DJ know you have faith in him. And then he's going to go out there and you're going to see what you have. But I think there is a short leash on it.
Oh, there's definitely going to be. And again, you hope that Volpe can just seize that, right? Can Volpe hit 245? Can he go from 207 to 245? Again, like it sounds facetious because I'm giving these low batting averages, but it's like guys like Volpe and Stanton, if you hit 200 in 2023, then you hit 230, still a 30-point increase.
It's a lot of extra hits.
It is, and especially with his speed. So Soto reported a day early. That was exciting. He said it's going to be electric. He also said his favorite Yankee growing up was Robinson Cano.
That's right, concerning. Robinson
Cano. Get the folding chair out.
Yeah, right? Soto's going to be in right field sitting in a folding chair. But no, he'll probably have, like Cano, he'll have a big walk year. Yeah, no, I mean, we've talked about, the atmosphere around Yankee Stadium. He's obviously Dominican. Dominican culture in New York is huge. I always viewed it as like a selling point to getting people to New York. Like when Cano signed with Seattle, I was with Barstool. I wrote a blog that was like, "What? He's like the third Dominican person in Seattle. Like, what? The food sucks. Like, what are you going to do?" I think there's an opportunity for the city to win him over, and for him to just be like, more comfortable with his surroundings. I think that. Anybody who says like, I grew up wanting to play baseball and I didn't think about the Yankees is lying.
Definitely. Biggest similarity to Cano is he played in 162 games last season. Like channel that. I don't need you sprinting to first every time. If you can post 158 times, whatever it is, that is perfect for me. And I want him to push back at Boone. Like, when it's week three and they played 14 games and Boone says, "I'm giving you a day." I want Soto to be like, "No, it's my walk year. I'm healthy and I'm playing," and like change that culture a little bit and get away from the planned off days. I wonder if he could maybe change that culture. Cause Judge talked about it too, how you need guys who want to grind through 162.
I mean, I think that this is, we said maybe it was last year, but I think it is Boone has 1 year left after this contract, after this year.
The club has an option. But this is his last year under contract. The Yankees could pick up an option for 25 if they want to.
So fuck it. Balls to the wall. You got a young stud out there. You play him every goddamn day. Especially if like that's what he's used to. He's 25 years old. He's going to be 26, as you get into the playoffs. The guy's already played almost 800 career games. Run him out there every day.
No, 100%. And I did notice, I don't know about you, I did notice a little bit more of a sense of urgency coming out of camp. They weren't talking about, the process and we'll see where the chips fall. And day by day, they're like, "We're hell bent on being a champion. We don't want to go back to last year." It seems like they're a little bit more locked in. And like, what's the quote? Like, you're a big 96 guy. Was it Mariano Duncan? "We play today, we win today." Like, let's get back to that. Just do whatever the fuck you can to win that game, whether it's a Thursday against the Guardians, it's Saturday against the Red Sox, whatever, instead of being like, "Oh, let's give them a rest day 3 weeks out because that's what the algorithm says." Like, just get back to winning the day, man.
There's no punt day if Soto's in the lineup.
Exactly. There's not. Him and Judge back-to-back, like, it's a weird comp, but I keep thinking about the 2004 Red Sox because – they had a lot of holes as a team, but they won the World Series because Ortiz and Manny were on fire back to back. And you just couldn't get through that part of the order. Like, they weren't the best fielding team. They weren't the most athletic. They didn't have the best bullpen, but they just had those two dominating, and like that can mask a lot of other issues.
I mean, Soto's led the league in walks three times. He's led the league in on base percentage twice. And with Judge around behind him, like, you know, it's a terror dome to get into that lineup when you get into Miller, as long as these guys stay healthy.
And I don't really think it matters, like, who hits second or who hits third. Whatever they feel more comfortable is my vote. Like, I don't remember – I think Ortiz hit in front of Manny, but I don't really remember what the exact order is. When you have two guys like that, it doesn't really matter, and I think they'll experiment.
Last and it's not Orlando Cabrera behind them.
Right.
It's Rizzo. Like, you have – it's Glaber.
Yeah, no, it's a lot better. I do like the idea of having Glaber behind them because he makes contact.
Yeah.
Just can't be Stan. So last topic before we get to questions. There's a lot of Blake Snell buzz. There was buzz that we made an offer, you know, a month ago for $150 million. Now there's some buzz per Mark Feinstein that we just made another offer. I haven't really heard of any other teams that are in on him. He's a Boris guy. Who knows when he's going to sign? Do you think this is actually realistic, or do you think this is just kind of fluff?
I want to believe it's realistic. I mean, he just won the Cy Young, so you're not going to get like a prove it deal. Like, we always, like, we've wanted these prove it guys, yeah. Which, like, Soto's kind of a prove it guy, right? Verdugo's kind of a prove it guy because we're getting them in their walk year. You know, it's because I think Bellinger is Boris too, right?
Bellinger, yep, is also Boris.
Boris guys are always sitting out the beginning of the season. Stephen Drew, remember forever ago?
Yeah, wow. There's one.
Boris has come out and said, you know, because there are some other sports have, like, you have to sign by a certain day. And he said, that is terrible for the players. We shouldn't have that because it puts, like, a fake deadline on them. But at a certain point, as teams are, like, coming together and shaping up and just getting ready to go in with, like, hey, this is going to be our, you know, this is going to be our rotation. This is going to be our roster. These guys can't feel great. You know, they want to get out there. They want to be playing. They're going to miss the whole time of wearing shorts and playing catch. By the time they get there, you're going to have to wear pants. That's not fun. So I'd like to see it. I'd like to see, you know, if we got Snell on a short deal, I'd love him to shave that stupid facial hair so he doesn't look like a street magician anymore. And, you know, I know we've talked about his value in the lineup, but you want to free up some money, trade Gleyber Torres. Let one of the young guys play second base. Spend half of, you know, spend his salary to go get a half of a Blake Snell for a year.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I mean, for an all-in year, I'd rather have them both. But if those were my two options, I would definitely do that. Now, my heart loves this. My heart wants him. My head says that when the Yankees make a big move, they do it early. CC, they signed in November. Cole, they signed first week of December. Soto, right? First week of the winter meetings or whatever, December. Very rarely do the Yankees come in February or March and make a big move. A-Rod is the only one that I could really think of. I was thinking about this today. And, like, we try to convince ourselves this with Harper, like, oh, they're, you know, they're waiting in the weeds and they, you know, maybe his asking price will come down. Generally, that's just not how it works, but I mean, with all that being said, I would be really, really excited if you could pair him with Cole.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be shocked. You know, if all of a sudden you've got a rotation where, you know, Nestor's your number five, Stroman's at four, Rodon's at three, Snell two, Cole one. I mean, that's a dominating, you know, potentially very dominating rotation. Now, we've gone out there and we've gotten Kevin Brown and Randy Johnson. Like, we've seen this rotation built before. So it's always, you know, the injury bug's always going to be a question. But if you go out and you get Juan Soto coming off of just any season he's ever had, and then the reigning Cy Young winner, I mean, that's a huge offseason. So it'd be interesting to see, like, who ends up making the move. I never feel confident anyway when it gets to, like, this late in the process.
Yeah.
I feel like whoever it is, like, kind of, it's either out of desperation, maybe someone's got to get injured, and we're not the team that just gets to, like, sneak in and grab a guy.
Generally not. Generally, we get the guys early, like I said. But, again, it'd be really sick. He did. It's weird. He won the Cy Young. He also led the league in walks. Like, I do think if we got him, it would be kind of frustrating at times, like, watching him walk guys and the slow games and the long counts, but clearly he would improve the rotation. And again, we traded away a lot of our rotation depth in the Soto trade. I mean, last year, spring training, they lost 60% of the rotation to injuries. Like, they're going to need more arms. I still do think they need another starter. I don't know if they'll get a guy of his magnitude, but the five or six guys they have right now are not going to cut it through 162.
No, not at all. And, you know, I'm glad we don't have Domingo Germán anymore.
Is he's still unsigned, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's signed. And I'm also like, I wish him luck in Queens, but like, I'm happy to be over the Seve experiment.
Dude, 100%. I'm glad we're not going in there. Oh, maybe he could be a number two. Like, again, he was so terrible. He was like the worst starter in baseball last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just totally unreliable. And like, we saw like bursts of greatness that just never panned out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did not. Let's get to some questions. So we have a new intern. Now, my only problem with our new intern, love everything about him, responsive, hustles, but he's got the same name as you, right? Well, like, it's frustrating.
It is an issue.
It is a thing. But I do JJ, so it works.
Okay. All right. So I was going to call you Jack and him intern Jack. I could go back to calling you call JJ and him Jack.
I'm just going to call him intern Jack anyway.
Yeah, I like that. I like intern Jack.
Podcasts need that. You need to have a guy who you say intern in front of.
Yeah, yeah. No, but, it makes it more fun.
Yeah, but if you've been following at George's Box Pod on Twitter, Jack's been doing a ton of tweeting. Jack, I don't know how much you want to divulge about yourself, but if you'd like to introduce yourself to the listeners, go nuts.
Yeah, so as Nick said, my name is Jack, but you can call me Intern Jack. And I've been a Yankee fan my entire life. I would say my first real season of really watching every day was 2017. So it was a fun season to start. And since then, yeah, I've just been, you know, a diehard and been running the Twitter. It's been a lot of fun and excited to get going with the season.
Hell yeah. You're 18 years old and you turn 19 this year?
19. So I'm 19 turning 20 in July.
Oh, okay. I turned 39 2 days ago. I'm almost drinking age older than you.
That is crazy. It's wild. So like, you didn't really watch Derek Jeter. Like, that's wild to me.
No, I have one memory of Jeter. Like, when I was like 5, going to a game in person, that was it. But my I never really watched Jeter. Never really watched Mariano.
That's nice. Like, you gotta get
Judge
this kid
is like
a ring.
My guy. Yeah, seriously. No.
For this generation, that's crazy. That is mind blowing. What is the what is our first question today? We got any good mailbag?
Yeah, we got a lot of questions. If you guys want to leave questions for future episodes, just at George's Box Pod on Twitter. But the first question comes from Rudy Julia NYY on Twitter/X. How many games does DJ play at third this season? Also, who plays there if he isn't? Is it Peraza? Is it Cabrera? I don't love the depth slash options at third base.
I love Peraza's depth. You go, Jack.
No, you go first.
All right. I love Peraza as the depth. How many games will DJ play at third? I think he'll play about 110 total with like 90 of them at third base. And I think Peraza is going to get like 50 or so games at third.
I agree with that. I think that, you know, when Rizzo needs a day off, which like he's an older player, he's going to need some days off. DJ hops over to first base. We don't really have a first baseman of the future on this roster. I do think like Peraza and Cabrera are probably going to need a first baseman's mitt just, like kind of all hands on deck. But yeah, I like the idea of seeing Peraza get some significant playing time. Like, I'd love DJ to come back and be the guy that, you know, we signed an extension, but I mean, all signs point to that's not going to happen. That's also why wanting to see Peraza play is why I've been more open to making a move with Glaber. Because like at a certain point, you got to see what you have with these guys. It's kind of always the problem we have is these prospects, and then we don't play them, and then they don't pan out, and nobody wants them.
Yeah, Cashman waits till the stock is at the lowest, and then he cuts them.
Yeah.
Not a winning strategy. What's the next question?
Next one we got from at RyanMajor07. If you had to choose between DJ Stanton or Rodon to have a bounce back year, who would you take?
Ryan's my boy, and Rodon 100% is my answer. They're not going anywhere. If he pitches like last year, if he pitches like a strong number two, they could win the World Series.
Yeah, it's got to be Rodon, just also because that's the thinnest area. Like, the drop from Rodon to whoever would slide into that rotation is dramatically worse than the drop from Stanton to Verdugo, Stanton to Soto, which is not a drop at all, or even like DJ to Peraza.
I think that's one thing that like every Yankee fan can almost agree on, is that like Rodon is arguably the most important guy this year. Like, everybody seems very much in unison on that from what I've seen.
Yeah, because like, we don't really know what we have. He missed so much time, then he came back and he's having bad starts and his wife's tweeting, and like, we just need to see like what he actually is. Like, what did we buy?
Yeah, it's a great point. We literally have no idea. Next
up, and this is a long one, so I'll split this one up. We have from at DDDust102. Overall vibe check. When to worry about the Dodgers? Do we need another starter? Will Soto go to the Mets after this season?
I would say to this guy, just, you know, don't get too far. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. Playing the Dodgers in the World Series would be a great problem to have. The plus side, obviously, of Ohtani and Yamamoto going there is we only play them once. They're in the National League. We're really not competing with them. I'm not worried about Soto re-signing with the Mets. I think they're going to give all of their money to Alonso, and I think Soto's going to love it here. Vibe check wise, I'm feeling great. I can't wait to watch Soto and Judge hit back to back.
Yeah, I'm excited for the season again. You know, I'm skeptically optimistic, as happens when you're in an abusive relationship. but, you know, worrying about the Dodgers, like Nick said, is just so far down the line. Like, I'd love to have to worry about the Dodgers, but I'm not even worried about the Red Sox in February. Like, I'm only worried about like one of our guys like stepping on a ball on the warning track. I'm worried about that last week of spring training. Like, oh, by the way, someone's having a bacchiotomy or whatever, you know, some kind of procedure done. And like, as far as Soto for the offseason, you know, I'm going to focus on this year, like everyone's saying too. I'm going to hope that, like, if we go out and we get deep and Soto is having a great season and he's young and we're showing that, like, the vibes are good with the team, I think we will put our best foot forward to go out there and get him. But, like, there's also the possibility that, like, things fall apart and then it's like, well, we've got the Cole contract, the Rodon contract, the Judge contract. Do you add another contract to that if somehow we miss the playoffs due to like injuries again?
Oh God, if they miss the playoffs, my mind can't even go there. Like, that's a crazy place to go mentally.
Yeah, it would be sad.
All right, let's take two more.
Okay, so we'll do the second part of DD Dust's question. Can Volpe step up? Is Boone getting extended a formality? And Joe Girardi in the booths? What are your thoughts on that?
This kid came with a lot of questions. I'll take Volpe. Like, I think that's the thing, man. That can Volpe hit 250, steal 30 bases, and actually be a force instead of swinging for the fences on every swing? I actually don't. I have no idea, Jack. What do you think of that one, the Volpe one?
I think Volpe had to swing for the fences last year because it was such a shit show of a lineup that, like, it takes pressure off of him. And if, you know, they can spend time focusing on, you know, bat to ball contact and not just how hard you hit it, as like we heard coming out of the minor leagues last year, like that was all they focused on. If he could just focus on bat to ball, using his speed to get on base and like being a threat there, he'd have a major impact with this team. Obviously, like, he went out and played really well last year, not in all the ways that we want him to, but he got to the major leagues when he wasn't supposed to. He's an undersized guy. So I have faith in him to be able to, like, go out there and make those adjustments. And Girardi in the booth, I think it's funny. It's kind of weird to be like, oh, the guy whose job I took is, like, literally right up there. because, like, you know, Girardi, like, he didn't work in Philly, but, like, he was a good manager here. He was a good manager in Miami and didn't have a job. It's weird that he's not getting more opportunities, or maybe he is, and it's just like, you know, he doesn't want to go to the places where the jobs are, or, like, he's kind of a military type guy, and that doesn't work with, like, the new, like, model of working, you know, working with players.
It's weird. When we got rid of him, I was, like, really happy to get rid of him, and now there's definitely times where it's like, oh, we could use some of that fire. You always want what you can't have.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
Last question we have from Zachariah Krauk 1. With the new additions, do you guys see the Yankees as the favorite in the American League East?
I do. I think the Orioles are going to come back down to earth. They were shitting rainbows last year. They were completely healthy all year. I saw one of their good starters, Bradish, already went down. The Rays are missing a million guys. They've, like, Wander Franco's and going to jail. A bunch of their starters got Tommy John. The Red Sox suck, and I think the Blue Jays are overrated. So, yeah, I think Vegas is right. I think we should be the favorites.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, we expected the Orioles to come back down to earth last year. I think now there's, like, the pressure. There, when you do it the first time, it's kind of like dumb luck. You got nothing to lose. But, like, there are expectations, and these guys have not had expectations. A lot of them have never had expectations in their career. So to actually have expectations while, like, changing ownership. And yeah, they went out and, like, they tried to make some good moves. They've got, you know, good young guys coming up. Cal Ripken's going to be one of the owners. Like, I think they have an exciting future, but I think with the roster that we've put together and the ability to still be able to add to that roster, I feel confident in us. I mean, the Rays are always going to be the Rays. Like, I don't know who's on the Rays. Probably, you know, at least 90 wins. Probably 90.
Oh, they'll make
wins.
The playoffs, but I think yeah. We're better.
And in the Blue Jays, I just think they're at, like, that window that we thought they had is closing. They were already talking about extensions, who they're going to have to trade. They do have IKF, so that's always going to be a concern, you know, because obviously he knows the ballpark. He's a power threat, and he could be anywhere on the field, and that's my guy.
It's funny, the Orioles thing. Like, it's almost like we felt this, I feel like, in 2018. Like, 2017, we had this really fun run. There were no expectations. The world was our oyster. And then in 2018, they really felt that pressure. And then obviously getting eliminated by Boston in the DS that year. Like you said, Orioles have never gone through that before, and they're going to. But you're right. The Rays will find a way to win 90 games despite, like, their entire rotation at Tommy John last year. And they'll still find a way.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we got, right?
Yeah, man. Good questions today.
Yeah, good questions. We're happy to have intern Jack here with us. You could follow Nick on Twitter at NKirbyNYY. You could follow me at JJ from the Bronx. You follow the show at George's Box Pod. Jack, intern Jack, I don't remember your Twitter handle. What's your personal Twitter handle?
You can follow me at JackFeldman222.
Are you also, like, Bronx Bombers beat or something like that too?
No, but that guy keeps retweeting everything we're posting. So,
like, immediately. Okay, nice.
Yeah, shout out to that
guy. I assumed it was you because it's like
not me.
Yeah. So, so keep an eye out. Every week we'll be asking for questions. Most of the time we're going to record on Mondays. Occasionally we'll shift it around, sometimes early, sometimes late. We'll try to communicate because we're just out here having a silly goose time. And, you know, we hope to see you. Nick, you're doing opening day, right?
100%. Next question.
I'm trying to figure it out.
You said it's some wrestling thing?
It's not some wrestling thing. It's WrestleMania.
Dude, I have no idea. You were explaining this to me. I was like, I have no idea what any of this is. Like,
it's WrestleMania weekend in Philly. So on Thursday, I'm going to a live podcast at 8:30 while I also have tickets to another event at 8. So I'm doing the podcast, going to this other event at 8. Friday's opening day. I thought Thursday was opening day. So, like, Thursday would make it easier. Also, on the Wednesday, I'm supposed to have a colonoscopy. Really just throws everything. Like, makes it a fun. I'll be coming in looking slim.
And so I've got those. Then maybe I go up to Yankee Stadium and back to go to SmackDown at 8 o'clock in Philly, the Hall of Fame at 10 o'clock at night in Philly. I have a 1 o'clock pay-per-view on Saturday, 5 o'clock WrestleMania Night 1 on Sunday, 5 o'clock WrestleMania Night 2 on Sunday, Raw on Monday night.
And so what did you tell Emily? Like, she's just like, you're like, I'm out for the weekend. Like, I got a wrestling bender.
Listen, I'm pretty much not here. I'm going to sleep here at times. And also, I'm light about $2,500. So just, you know.
You could go to opening day and get back to Philly by 8 o'clock, like, pretty easily.
Yeah, and I'm doing it like I'm not drinking right now. I'm on a not drinking, not smoking thing. So it makes it a lot easier because I won't feel like I'm missing out on the drinking if I haven't drank in months.
Right, dude. You got it all figured out. Well, I hope to see you. I hope to see you in the building or in the ballpark or whatever.
Yeah, we'll
Friday see. Afternoon. Can't beat that. I like opening day on a Friday. It's pretty cool.
It is nice. It is nice. I'll probably be there. I mean, we know I'm probably going to be there. Yeah. Well, hey, we'll either see you at opening day or we'll see you at the parade.